Welcome to the Old Time Radio Daily Westerns, the first Old Time Radio Daily Western podcast that brings you a show from the 1930s through the 1960s. I'm your host, Andrew Ryans, and today is April 7th, 2010. Today's episode is brought to you by Amazon.com. If you plan on doing any online shopping, go to otrwesterns.com/Amazon to start your shopping experience today. Today's show is going to be Challenge of the Yukon. Two shows that I have. The first one's going to be Wolfpack. The original air date for Wolfpack is January 27th, 1944. And then the second one is Cabin on the Trail. Original air date is February 3rd, 1944. Let's get into them. Remember, I'm going to play them back to back, and I hope you guys enjoy.
The Challenge of the Yukon.
Keen, the swiftest and strongest of Eskimo lead dogs, blazes the trail through storm and snow for Sergeant Preston as he meets the Challenge of the Yukon. Sergeant Preston was typical of the small band of Northwest Mounted Police who preserved law and order in the Yukon during the gold rush of 98. That was the year that brought over 50,000 men swarming into the Klondike region, and the greed for gold led to frequent violence and bloodshed. But in spite of the odds against them, the force preserved a splendid record in maintaining the right. The challenge of the North was answered, and justice ruled triumphant. Dan McGregor's cabin was in one of the most isolated stretches of the Yukon wilderness. Far off the trail, it was a long, tedious journey to civilization, even in good weather. In the blast of the terrible winter, it was almost impossible to travel. Inside, the cabin was warm and cozy. Dan's young wife, Mary, busied herself putting dishes away, while Dan and an old sourdough, Clancy O'Connell, sat talking before the heartening blaze of a good fire. Dan held a young baby on his knee. Clancy broke the friendly silence that had fallen on the happy group.
Yeah, sure, by God, that young'un sure is growing. Just look at how he's watching you, Dan.
Bright as a button, aren't you, son? You know, Clancy, I was afraid of having him and Mary stay up here.
Oh, there's a man for you. The children weren't raised in the wilderness before. I'll wager you won't find a healthier-looking baby anywhere.
You're right there, Mary. I declare, I ain't ever seen a smarter-looking tyke. He'll be a rich man someday.
You bet your life he'll be.
Say, Dan.
Yeah?
Last time you was to town, did you see anything of McLean?
Mm-hmm.
Did he have anything to say about the mine?
Just asked me how it was coming.
You gave him all the details, I reckon.
Well, sure. If it hadn't been for him, we wouldn't be so well off this winter. I don't mind telling you, I was ready to give up when he staked me. You got something on your mind, Clancy. Might as well spill it.
No, I was just thinking, that's all.
Thinking what?
I've been knocking around up here for more years than I'd like to remember, Dan. And you can take my word for it, a man meets all kinds, good and bad. I always did think McLean was one of the bad ones.
He's mighty good to me.
Well, why shouldn't he be? You paid him back five times over for what he ever staked you. It's none of my business, though.
Hey, that's funny. Visitors. Here, take the baby, Mary.
People don't usually go visiting this time of year, son.
Hi there, Dan.
McLean, what brings you up here?
Oh, just came up with the boys for a spell. Send to the dogs, will you, Pete?
Sure. Here you, Huskies.
Don't mind if you come in, do you, Dan?
Well, no.
Hi, boys. Oh, Miss McLean.
Pretty comfortable place you got here.
First time you've been up here, isn't it?
Yeah. I guess you're pretty well fixed for supply.
Now, we took care of that a long time ago. We've got enough caribou meat to see us through the winter.
That's good. I'm glad to hear it. Now, you're better fixed than anyone this side of Melville.
How's that?
The supply boats ain't come through yet.
Oh.
Yeah, it's bad.
Bad. That ain't half of it.
We have plenty here. If you men need food, we'll be glad to share some of our supplies with you.
Sure.
That ain't exactly what I had in mind, Miss McGregor.
If it isn't food you want, Mr. McLean.
Oh, it's food we want, all right. But we don't aim to take no share of what you got here.
Well, you're welcome to it.
We're taking all of it, Dan.
You're what?
Yeah, you heard me, old-timer.
He's joking, Dan. He can't possibly...
I never joke. Dan knows that.
Why, that dirty swine. I always knew he wasn't...
Don't reach for that gun, Grandpa. You just do what I say.
You're holding the gun, Mac. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Well, me and the boys have come a long way. A mighty long way, just to make you a proposition.
A proposition, he calls it, yes.
We started out with all the supplies we could get our hands on.
Buying supplies, of course.
Come on, McLean, get to the point.
Yeah, boss, cut out the gab and give it to him
straight. Shut up, I'm running this outfit. Now that we're here, we're willing to let you and Mrs. McGregor have a day's supplies for you and the dog.
Now, wait a minute. We're not leaving Miss Cabin.
You're leaving right now.
The baby.
That's your concern, not mine.
But it's murder. You know we can't reach the trading post. Why, it'd take us 3 days.
My. Now, ain't that too bad. I'm sorry, Dan. That's all the food we can spare. You can go on short rations, you know.
We ain't budging, you sputtering coyote. We'll stay here if I
have
to take...
Who said anything about you going? Oh, you're staying here. I figure we need a hand to take care of washing dishes and the like.
What?
You better start getting your dogs ready, McGregor. You got a long trip ahead of you.
A sharp wind whipped Sergeant Preston mercilessly as he urged his team over the trail. Ahead of the pack ran the great dog King, alert and watchful. Watching him, the Mountie smiled, for he knew the wilderness held no terror for King.
He's glad to have a job to do. Seems to enjoy running against the wind.
On, King! On, you Huskies!
We've got a job to do this time, all right. Melville doesn't soon get some supplies. What is it? What is it? What's wrong, King, huh? Oh, you Huskies, oh! Oh, now, look. We don't want to waste any time, boy. This trail is... Very well, King, you win. Which way, huh? Don't pull me. I'm coming. Can't see a thing. This wind is... Oh, over the crest of that hill, huh, fella? Well, we'll have a look. A man and woman. Now, who in the world would be on the trail in weather like this? You go back and bring the dogs, King. That's right, boy. I'm going down there. With a sickly-looking fire like that, they need help. Hello there!
Help! Help!
Why, it's Dan McGregor and Mary... And she's holding their young baby.
I don't know who you are, stranger, but we're sure glad you've come.
Dan, it's Sergeant Preston.
Mary and Dan, what in the world?
Oh,
oh, now, wait a minute, Mary. Last time I saw Dan in town, he told me you were all set to hole in for the winter. What happened?
We're all set, but Mac McLean came up to the cabin yesterday and drove us out.
We've used up what food we had.
Well, I have some supplies on the sled. We'll add more wood to the fire and have some ready for you in a few minutes. Meanwhile, I want you to tell me about McLean.
It was shortly after dark. In Dan McGregor's cabin, the fire burned brightly. Mac McLean paced the floor restlessly with his hands in his pockets, outlining a recently hatched scheme to his men. Clancy, the rugged old prospector, washed at the dishes sullenly, his sharp ears taking in every word of the conversation.
Yeah, it was a lucky break for us when you spotted the morning star down the river, Pete.
Yeah. We take over the supplies she's carrying. We can name our own price in Melville. She's stuck solid.
Yeah, stuck solid. What could be better? Tell her... I'll tell you what I want you and Lefty to do, Pete.
Well, I'm listening.
Make your way down to the trail, then get down to where the morning star is and see how many windows are lighted up. Maybe we can get a rough idea of how many men are on board.
All right. It won't take us more than 15 minutes to
make sure it don't. We can't afford to waste much time.
Right.
Hey, where are you going, Grandpa?
Just going out for a breath of fresh air when I don't get in here.
Oh, no, you ain't.
If you weren't so busy planning how to keep food from starving mouths, you'd have noticed the fire's burning low and we need wood. You going to get it or do I?
All right.
Could have swore I saw someone moving over in that timber. But I don't see him now. Rotten varmints. I only hope Dan and Mary eat. Hey, what in the... Looks like a dog coming from the trees. Well, I'll be a friendly one, ain't you, boy? Good-looking husky. Hey, what's the... and looks like a note or something in his collar. Let's see. Seems like... Yeah, it's a pencil. Yeah, I have to go over here. Got to keep down. Light from the window ought to be enough to read by. By Dottie, it's from Sergeant Preston. Here, boy. I'll send this back with you. And hurry back here before they get suspicious.
Back in the cabin a half hour later, Clancy puffed silently on his pipe, while Mac McLean peered anxiously out of the window.
Seems like they ought to be back by now, Mac.
Yeah, the darn fools. What's keeping them?
Those blasted wolves get on my nerves. Sounds like a whole pack.
Yeah, you're dead.
Daft nothing. Pete and Lefty'd be back here by now. I'll lay you 10-1 they ran into trouble. A pack of it.
Come on, I've had enough of this waiting around.
Them wolves are mighty hungry this time of year, McLean. And they ain't particular about their meat, neither.
Shut up. When I want your opinion, I'll ask you for it. Get your gun, Red. You too, Slim.
I don't like this.
Man. I ain't asking you if you do or not. I'm boarding the Morning Star, see? The day after tomorrow, we'll start for Melville with enough supplies to sell to set us up for life.
As the three men left the cabin, sharply silhouetted against the snow, they were watched by Sergeant Preston. King stood at his master's side, every muscle tense, his keen eyes following the progress of McLean and his men.
You're right, Sergeant. There they go. The three of them.
Out to look for our friends here. It's a good job of gagging them, Ben.
I'd like to brainbow them.
But never mind. They'll get what's coming to them. We'll get them back in Melville. Clancy was right about the Morning Star being down the river. Look, Dan.
The back door of the cabin. Clancy.
He's heading this way. Go to meet him, King. We'll wait till they're far enough away from the cabin for me to circle around them. Then, Mary, you go back into the cabin with the baby. We can't risk keeping me out in the cold any longer.
Bless me. This ain't the best luck I ever struck.
Quick. We have no time to lose. Clancy, you stay here and guard the prisoners.
Prisoners? How'd you... Oh, don't worry none, Sergeant. I'll take good care of them both.
Come with me, Dan. Ready, King?
Good luck to you.
Thanks. We'll need it.
There they are, Sergeant.
Yes, I see them. They're making slow progress. All right, King. Start howling like a wolf. Come on, Dan. Let's see how good our imitations are. Down, King. Duck, Dan. Oh, that was close.
It must have sounded like the real thing.
Only one man fired, Dan. And I'm sure it wasn't McLean. Yeah, see? He's turning on those two like a savage.
The Morning Star must be just around that bend. Your plan works,
it's got to work. Come on, Dan. Hug the protection of these rocks. King, you circle around to that big rock. When I call, you charge them. Understand, fella? Oh, good boy. Off now. All right, Dan, open up on them. Get them, King! Get them!
Hey, what's that? Shoot it! Shoot! Shoot! Get away from me! Shoot it!
Oh, my gun! He tore it out of my hand!
Come on, Dan, rush them! Here come the man from the Morning Star.
Get that dog away!
All right, King! Down, boy! Down, fella! You, throw down your guns.
Throw them down. That wolf's making off with him.
Look again, McLean. It's no wolf.
Hey, what's all this about? My men heard the shots.
Captain Oakes?
That's right.
Sergeant Preston of the Mounted Police. These men were planning to force their way on board your boat to steal the supplies. We thought when we heard the gunfire you'd come to investigate, trapping them between two fires.
It seems like you had the situation pretty well under control before we even got here, Sergeant. It's a mighty good thing you stopped them. We've been stuck for so long, we'd have probably welcomed them as a committee from Melville.
You're under arrest, McLean. You and your men. It was nothing short of an attempted murder when you turned the McGregors out to freeze on the trail.
Say, is the cabin in this wild-looking country?
Within walking distance, Captain. We'll carry some of your supplies to Melville on sleds. They're badly needed.
I know they are. We've been helpless here. Got stuck in a sandbar on the river, and by the time we got loose from that, the freeze set in. We sure ain't running according to schedule this trip.
On your feet, McLean.
No,
you're heading back to town.
A dog. And I thought it was a wolf.
Your friends thought the same thing. But we managed to capture them without any gunplay. Yes, King, you've done a good job. We've done all we set out to do, and more. With your help, the case is closed.
Mm-hmm. Challenge of the Yukon, a copyrighted feature of the Challenge of the Yukon Incorporated, brought to you each week at this same time, originated in the studios of WXYZ Detroit. The characters and events in tonight's drama were fictitious. Bob Height speaking. This is the Michigan Radio Network.
The Challenge of the Yukon.
King! On you, Husky!
King, the swiftest, strongest of Eskimo lead dogs, blazes the trail through storm and snow for Sergeant Preston as he meets the Challenge of the Yukon. Sergeant Preston was typical of the small band of Northwest Mounted Police who preserved law and order in the Yukon during the gold rush of 98. That was the year that brought over 50,000 men swarming into the Klondike region, and the greed for gold led to frequent violence and bloodshed. But in spite of the odds against them, the force preserved a splendid record in maintaining the right. The challenge of the North was answered, and justice ruled triumphant. Harry Jenkins, a well-to-do writer, came to the Yukon to gather material for a book. He'd heard much of the men who rushed to the North Country to get rich quick. With a good outfit and sturdy dogs, he set out to see these miners, the lucky ones and the unfortunates. He visited Indian tribes and presented them with gifts. It delighted him to see their faces glow when they saw the great, heavy gold watch he carried. It was early morning when Jenkins and his guide, Pierre Beaumont, waved a last goodbye to Chief Charlie and his people.
Bye, Chief. Maybe we'll see you again sometime.
Harry Jenkins didn't know it, but that was his last time to see Chief Charlie or anyone else. The next day, Sergeant Preston stopped for a moment at the Indian village.
No, I'm sorry, Charlie. I want to get to Half Mile this afternoon. The next time I come by this way, I'll plan to spend more time with your people.
White man always much in hurry. My people miss see red coat.
This kind of weather, that red coat has to be covered with something to keep out the wind.
Me sell white man's skin yesterday. Keep him warm.
Oh, that was a good deal for you.
Him not like other men come here for gold. Him carry big gold clock. Me want trade skin.
Oh, trade the skins for the watch, eh?
Him not do.
What was his name?
Him name Jenkins. Him may be big chief.
Well, if he is, I never heard of him. Get the dogs up, King. Goodbye, Charlie.
Charlie wish Sergeant Preston a safe journey. Good trail.
Thanks. Good luck to you and your people.
On, King! On, you Huskies!
With the wind at our back, we're making better time than I expected. At least we don't have to break a trail this trip. No snow for the last 2 days. Looks like we'll get some before nightfall, though. Seems King's found something ahead there. All right, fella, all right. Ho, you Huskies, ho! What's that, you... A man.
Yes, King. He's dead. Tracks of another man. Looks like he put up a fight for his life. The other man shot him and then got in the sled and kept going. Well, maybe we can find out who he is. No money in his pockets, nothing to... Oh, what's this? A keychain with a tag on it. Yeah, let's see. Harry A. Jenkins. Why, that's the man Charlie was telling me about. Whoever was with him robbed and murdered him.
Get him on the sled and then follow those tracks, King. There. That does it. All right, boy.
On, King! On, you Huskies!
With King in the lead, the dogs raced over the frozen trail while Sergeant Preston kept his eyes on the tracks in the snow. But as the team neared Half Mile, the Mountie knew his job would be doubly difficult, for the tracks of the sled he'd been following were obliterated by countless others. A short time later, Sergeant Preston arrived in town.
We'll stop at the hotel, King. Whoever killed Jenkins robbed him. So he came into town with plenty of money.
Come on, you dumb mutt. All right, get in line there. Come on over with the dog.
Well, his dog doesn't follow him, boy. I don't blame you. That's no way to treat an animal. Now, here we are, fella.
Well, sir, what can I...
Hello, Sam.
Thought you were a customer, Sergeant. That is, till I recognized King there. I get fooled every time when you got your tunic covered up. Me with a memory for faces, too.
Well, it's been a long time since we've been the half mile. But, Sam, we didn't stop in just to pay a friendly call.
No? Well, then...
Have you had any guests come in last night or early this morning?
Well, matter of fact, there's only been one. He came in late last night.
He did, huh? What's his name?
Fella named Beaumont. Pierre Beaumont.
Stranger in town?
Not exactly. I've seen him around before, only I never saw him flash as much money around as he did this time.
What room's he in, Sam? I'd like to talk to him.
Why didn't you say so, Sergeant? He left here, checked out not 15 minutes ago. Said he was going to head for Simmons' cabin up the trail.
Well, what's he look like?
Oh, he's big. I'd say about 6'2". Kind of dark-skinned, bushy black eyebrows.
Then he must have been the one we saw outside.
Huh?
Oh, we saw someone outside a few minutes ago. Seemed to have a lot of trouble getting his dogs together. I think I understand why now.
You got something on him?
Yes, yes, we have. Come on, King. He's gone.
See, now, I wish I'd known you were looking for him. What you wanted for?
We'll tell you about it when we get back, Sam. Right now, King and I are heading for Simmons' cabin.
Along most of the well-used trails in the north, there were prospectors' cabins with latch strings hung on the outside of the doors. It was the custom for any traveler to pull the string, which raised the inside wooden bar, walk in, and make himself at home. There was always dry wood in the stove and a square block of matches in sight, so that a man coming in might make a fire with the least possible waste of time. Simmons' cabin was one of these. Inside, the stove was glowing while an old prospector warmed his feet in front of it. His companion walked over to the window, raised his horny hand to shade his eyes and peered out.
Well, looks like we're going to have company, Pete.
Yeah. Well, I don't know who it might be, but from the way he was yelling at his dogs, it sounded like good company to me.
I can tell what a man's like from the way he treats his dogs, I always say.
What's that you're whittling, Mike?
Got in mind to whittle a boat with an Indian sitting in it. Come on in, stranger. Make yourself to home. That's what we're doing.
Thanks.
Hang your Mackinaw over there, stranger.
Yeah. Got anything to eat here?
There's beans in the cupboard, if you've a mind to fix them.
That's mighty hospitable to you, gents. Thanks.
You were talking about dogs a minute ago, Mike.
Dogs? Worthless pack of hounds.
That's so? Well, now every man's welcome to his own opinion. But I had a dog once, smartest husky that ever walked.
Which one was that?
Called her Pussyfoot. Yes, sir, now there was a dog. Yes, sir, best dog in the Yukon.
My money, I'll take a horse.
Oh, horses don't get far on these trails up here. Ain't as dependable. Did I ever tell you about the time Pussyfoot saved my life, Mike?
Yeah, sure. I heard that story 60 times if I heard it once. And every time you tell it, you make it bigger.
Well, maybe the stranger here ain't heard it yet.
You're right, I haven't. And I can do just as well without hearing it.
Well, stranger don't like dogs, and that's that. But you do. And I can tell you a story about a dog that'll make Pussyfoot look like a python.
Now, wait a minute. Ain't any dog can do
this
that.
This dog can, and I'll prove it.
You better. I'd like to know if any husky's smarter than Pussyfoot. Sounds like more company coming.
Well, whoever he is, if he wants something to eat, he can fix it himself. Just like I had to.
You ain't crippled, stranger.
Well, I'm in luck. Come on, boy.
Yeah, looks like we got a full house tonight. Come on over here by the stove, mister.
Well, thanks.
What's that dog doing in here?
Well, he's with me.
Well, he can stay outside with the rest of them.
Maybe you didn't hear what I said. He's with me.
He's welcome, far as Mike and me are concerned, mister. Sight more welcome than certain people I'm looking at right now.
Are you at a brain?
You men together?
Us? Shucks, no. I mean, we ain't all together. Mike and me are, but the stranger here, He just got in a while back.
I see.
Have you had anything to eat?
I'll cook some beans in a little while.
It's every man for himself here.
Yes, so I see. Oh, what's the matter, boy? You're foraging, huh?
Pete, that husky there reminds me an awful lot of this other dog I was telling you about.
Oh, yeah. I want to hear that story.
Mister, maybe you like dogs. With a good-looking one like that one following around, you sure can pick him.
Yes, he's a fine dog.
Well, Pete here claims his husky saved his life once.
She did, too.
The dog I'm telling about didn't only save one life, Pete. He saved a whole community.
A whole community? Oh, now that's a tall one.
It's a truth.
Whose dog was it?
Sergeant Preston's dog. Husky named King.
I don't care whose dog it is. There ain't any of them worth what it takes to feed them. Yeah, finished eating if you want to cook some beans.
Yeah. Take off your mackinaw, mister, and make yourself to home.
Come on, Mike. Get over your story. If that was such a smart dog, I want to hear about it.
You remember the time they had the diphtheria epidemic up at Fort Mon?
Yeah.
You remember it, mister?
Yes. Yes, I remember it well.
The only thing that could stop the folks from dying off like flies was to get serum to the town and get it there fast.
I know that.
Sure, any fool does. But there wasn't a drop to be had, and it was 100 miles to Hawkinsville and back to get it.
What I want to know is where this here dog you're talking about come here.
I'm getting to that. Now, you see, it happened like this. Sergeant Preston got into town with that there dog of his, and once he took the situation in, he sent King off with a message in his collar, mind you, all that way while she stayed in town and worked with the minister to save what lives he could. And would you believe it? The dog left in early morning, and by 10 o'clock that night he was back, with serum in his collar and a note from the doc at Hawkinsville saying he was following with more. That's how a dog saved the whole community. Well, sir, I tell you, I wouldn't have believed it.
You mean you saw that dog leave Fort Mon and come back with the serum?
Saw him! Why, man, I was right there, working along with the sergeant myself. Me and him are great pals. He's a fine fella, Pete. I'd stand that dog of his against anything in the Yukon.
I've heard enough of dog stories. I'm turning in.
You can ask Doc Burns the next time you go to Hawkinsville, if you don't believe me. And when I see my friend Sergeant Preston, I'll get it in writing.
Anyone got the time? I'm getting a little tired myself.
Yeah, I got the time. Just a minute. Just about. Watch is stopped.
That's so. Well, let's have a look at it.
Wait a minute, stranger. I don't show this watch to everybody.
No? Probably for a good reason, Pierre Beaumont.
What?
I said let me see that watch.
A little demanding for a stranger. How'd you know my name?
It's my business to know all about men like you.
Hey,
a man's a stranger until he introduces himself, Beaumont. I'm Sergeant Preston of the Mounted Police.
Sergeant Preston?
You don't have anything on me, Monty.
If your conscience is clear, you'll hand that watch over now.
Yeah? Well, suppose I...
Hey, look out! He's grabbing for the knife!
Oh, no, you don't! Quiet, boy, quiet. Now I'll have a look at that watch. Well, no wonder he wouldn't show it to me. Engraved Harry A. Jenkins, 1895. He's our man, all right.
That was some sock you landed on his chin, Sergeant. I don't know how you managed it with all them heavy clothes on. I thought it strange you didn't take off your parka.
I didn't want to let him see my red coat. And I hated to interrupt your story.
Sergeant.
Yeah. Yeah. Appears like you've got some explaining to do, Mike.
I knew Pete would never believe me if I hadn't said I was there in Fort Mon with you. I heard the story from Doc Burns, you see.
Oh, that's all right, Mike. If we weren't friends before, we are now. Well, I'll handcuff the prisoner, and King and I'll keep a watch on him tonight. Understand, boy? Then tomorrow, it's back to Half Mile. Chief Charlie to identify Beaumont, he's as good as hung.
You mean King here guards prisoners, too?
Oh, yes. And you can take my word for it. As far as King was concerned, Mike didn't exaggerate the story he just told at all. Yes, King, the case is closed.
Challenge of the Yukon, a copyrighted feature of the Challenge of the Yukon Incorporated, brought to you each week at this time, originated in the studios of WXYZ Detroit. The characters and events in tonight's drama were fictitious.
This is Jack McCarthy speaking. This is the Michigan Radio Network.
Check out the show notes at otrwesterns.com. Send me an email, podcast@otrwesterns.com. Call, leave me a voicemail, 707-98-OTRTW. Again, that's 707-986-8739. Tomorrow's going to be an episode of Have Gun, Will Travel. Till then, have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening.